Go, Deb.
Okay, hi everyone. Thank you so much for joining this wonderful webinar that we're going to get going with Tim Staples in just a few minutes. You got Jerry Usher here, Debbie Giorgiani, and about a couple dozen folks that are on participating right now listening. So we hope you can hear us quite well. Want to wish you an early happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for sticking with us and rescheduling this. Tim was very happy to be with us to talk about the Blessed Mother, and seeing as we're going to be coming up on the start of Advent this weekend, we just thought it was so important to actually, you know, ask him the really important questions that we're going to all probably be facing during this holiday season about the Blessed Mother. You know, a lot of us have friends and family members that just can't quite figure out how the Blessed Mother fits into their spiritual life. And so hopefully Tim will answer all these questions. So we're going to go pretty fast, about 30 minutes. Hope you can stick with us the entire time. If you missed part of it, you can always listen to it. It'll be posted. Shauna does a great job at posting it on jerryanddebbie.com. Within a matter of a couple hours after the broadcast. So that's really wonderful. Also too, if you really like these webinars, we're gonna continue to do them once a month. Gary Zimak is coming up in December, Rose Sweet in January. We've got a bunch of other surprises in February and March as well. If you really like what you're hearing, you know, please consider during this incredible giving season, if you would donate to One Faith, which is the wonderful nonprofit that Jerry and I are heading, and we're thrilled about the work that can be done and how many souls can be reached. And you can make your donation right there at jerryanddebbie.com. So please think about that. We would greatly appreciate it. We're not asking you to do much; just a little goes a long way, and we can make these broadcasts reach a lot more souls. So with that, I'm going to see if Mr. Usher is ready. Jerry, are you ready? Okay, he's probably talking.
Not quite, Deb.
Not yet. Okay, Jerry's probably talking to Tim. Tim just, I believe, got off the air on Catholic Answers Live, and so we're just getting him connected right now. The other thing I wanted to share too is if you're interested, there's a lot more that have just signed in to this webinar. So if you're interested in joining us in San Antonio, please check back to jerryanddebbie.com. We're going to have the information there, the itinerary for the wonderful pilgrimage the first week in December. And if you think you may be coming or driving in or flying in, you can always send us an email at take2@ewtn.com. Take2@ewtn.com. So you can send us an email. Let us know you're coming to San Antonio. Yep. We would love to see you the first week in December. Okay, I recognize that famous voice. I think it's Tim Staples, is it?
Hey.
Yes, it is. And I got through. Just had to run down the hall after doing our radio show. So it's great to be with you.
Thank you, Tim. And Jerry's there as well. Jerry?
I am. Yep.
Okay, well, I did all the housekeeping, you guys, so I think we're ready because we like to keep
Fantastic.
These webinars about 30 minutes. And Tim, if it's okay with you, we have five questions we really think we know you're going to be able to answer, but they've come up over the years during the Take-Two family tends to send us feedback after shows, especially about the Blessed Mother. And so we thought we would ask you some questions and you can help us because we're going into Advent and, you know, we're going to be meeting friends and family members that
Absolutely.
Don't know how the Blessed Mother fits into their spiritual life. So, Jerry, do you
Absolutely.
Want to do the first one?
Yeah, well, Tim, I think a lot of people probably know this from listening to your conversion story and reading your books and all that, but give us just the Reader's Digest of what your relationship was like with Mary when you were an anti-Catholic and how that is now.
Yeah, I would have to say of the top 10 absolute craziest things that I thought were if not crazy, demonic about the Catholic Church, out of the top 10, six of them would have been Marian. I thought Mary, you know, Mother of God, Immaculate Conception, Perpetual Virginity, Assumption, Co-Redemptrix, Mediatrix, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And her queenship were absolutely insane, unbiblical. I used to have a joke, Jerry, say, the Catholics make an assumption about the assumption because there's nothing in the Bible about the assumption and nothing in history. So I thought it was demonic in the sense that Mary and Mariology among Catholics becomes Mariolatry and leads people away from Jesus. That's how far I was away from Catholic theology.
Yeah, well, if there was, I know there's a lot of reasons why that changed for you, but can you point to one moment, Tim, when you just went, all of a sudden you started to say, wait a minute, you know, I'm starting to think maybe some of this might be right.
Yeah, well, the first thing for me was Mother of God. Because, you know, in my mind, Jerry, you guys were idolaters, because to say God has a mother, then you've got a quadrinity, right? Not a trinity. And my reasoning was, well, look, one of the ways we know Jesus is God is he's called the monogenes in Greek, the only begotten Son of God, John 3:16, John 1:18, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Well, when Jesus is revealed to be the only begotten Son of God, he reveals his divinity, because just as a dog has dog, cat has cat, bird has bird, man has man, God begets God. That's why we say in the Creed, right? God from God, life from life, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. So in my mind, I'm going, hey, I agree with you guys. Jesus is God because he's the Son of God. But if you say Mary's the Mother of God, you're making her God. And the light bulb went on for me years ago. I was actually watching a debate between a friend of ours, Father Mitch Pacwa, and Dr. Walter Martin, who was my kind of apologetic mentor from afar. And Father Pacwa just laid out in simple terms, look, we're not saying Mary is the source of Jesus' divine nature. We're not saying that. If we were saying that, that would be crazy, but she's not. She gives birth to and is the source of the human nature. And even when we consider that, so she's not the mother of the Father, she's not the mother of the Holy Spirit, so she's not the mother of the Trinity. But even the second person of the Blessed Trinity incarnate, she provides the human nature, and even there, really essentially the human body, because God directly creates every human being's soul. Right? So even though Jesus wasn't a human being, he was a divine being, he had a fully human nature. And so when it even comes to his human nature, Mary only supplied his body. So she's not the Mother of God in the sense that she is God. But at the same time, and this was where the light bulb went on for me, Jerry, is if you consider just regular childbirth, when my wife, you know, conceived our first of seven children, Timmy, at the point she conceived him, she did not provide his human soul. God did. She and I contributed to giving him his body. But does that mean that we, for the rest of his life, you know, we should have him say, hello, mother and father of my body? Of course not. Because my wife didn't just give birth to a body. She gave birth to a person. Light bulb goes on with me. I'm going, oh, my Lord, yes. So My son Timmy, of course I wouldn't think of this back then, but now my son Timmy is my son because I contributed, my wife gave birth to a person. Well, in the same way, Mary gave birth not to a body, not to a nature, not even to two natures. She gave birth to one person who has two natures. And it really came down then to this. If you deny Mary's the mother of God, then who did she give birth to? You're making him something less than God, and that's heresy. In order to uphold true Christology, that Jesus is indeed fully man and fully God, you have to acknowledge Mary as the Mother of God. That was the first sort of breach into my anti-Catholic arsenal that blew my mind. And from there, Jerry, it was a matter of going from doctrine to doctrine, right? The Immaculate Conception, you know, just understanding that we're not saying that Mary doesn't need a savior. She's perfect. She doesn't. No, she was saved by Jesus, absolutely. But in a more sublime way, she was preserved free of all stain of original sin. Why? To prepare her to be the Mother of God, the Ark of the Covenant and such. And it kind of went, kind of like, you know, in my experience, Jerry, it went the way it did with the church. From the Mother of God, which we call the final cause of all other gifts and dignities in the life of the Blessed Mother, it flows to all of the rest, to the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, and so forth.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Tim. Thank you so much. Before we get to the second question, because you jumped on right after you finished Catholic Answers Live, Jerry, would you like to do just a quick reintroduction of Tim? I think it's only fair and respectful of Tim because he's such a great apologist.
Yeah, well, Tim is director of apologetics at Catholic Answers. Many people know them from their radio show, Catholic Answers Live, or the TV version of that that airs on EWTN television. Tim is a convert to the Catholic faith. He was an Assemblies of God youth pastor for a long time and met a rough, tough Marine just like himself named Sergeant Matt Dula, who challenged him on his anti-Catholicism and got him started on the road to where he is today. So praise Amen. Be to God. And Tim now has not only, I think all of your family are Catholic, but even has a brother, Father Terry, who's a priest in Virginia. So yeah. Great to have you.
And that's a miracle because he wanted to cast demons out of me when I converted. And now he's the Catholic priest. But my mother, father, three brothers, my father just passed away 4 years ago. And oh, was he in a blessed state. He had a radical conversion. But you know what? The bottom line, it was with all my family members and literally thousands that we've seen over the last 30 years convert, overwhelmingly, it's rooted in misunderstandings about what the Catholic Church actually teaches.
Okay, so, all right, question number two, Tim. Families gather at the holidays, obviously, yeah. And not everyone yeah. is on the same faith page. So how can we be prepared to politely and charitably discuss Mary's role in the church with family members or friends who may view things differently? Can you give us some tips, Tim?
Yeah. You know what? I always recommend that you scratch where it itches. And really, your family are the ones that will tell you where they itch. I like to ease into conversations, especially at the holiday season. Just be there, have a glass of wine, eat lots of turkey, love your family. And if it should arise, and it often does, I recommend you let them tell you what they want to talk about, and then just take it gently from doctrine to doctrine. But if I had my way, my druthers, if I was going to start a conversation, I would begin with something like the Mother of God, which is so clear biblically, reasonably, historically as well. And most Christians, the overwhelming majority of Christians, actually agree with us. They don't understand conceptually what logically flows from the teaching of Mary, the Mother of God. But Lutherans, United Methodists, Episcopalians, most of these already believe Mary's the Mother of God, at least in the sense that they would say, you know, she gave birth to Jesus, who is God. So, okay, she's the Mother of God. And so if you can get some level of agreement, that's kind of your foot in the door. And then you'll probably have them say, but wait a minute, what about this assumption stuff, right? That's crazy. That was a big one for me. And then you can ease into a discussion there. Well, you know what? It's wonderful that we agree on Mary, the Mother of God. But let's take a look in Scripture and see. See, when God has a mother, you know, this is an exalted person in the kingdom, wouldn't you say? When you look at the Old Testament, you look at examples of the Queen Mother, for example, in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 2, King Solomon actually bows his forehead on the ground. He bows before his mother, who was the Queen Mother. And the king of Israel bowed to no one, well, obviously, except his mother. And God. And so we get a sense here, even in the Old Testament, in typology of the glory of the Queen Mother. Well, then let's look at Revelation chapter 12, just the first couple of verses here. And what do we see? But this glorious woman clothed with the sun, on her head a crown of 12 stars, under her feet the moon, this glorious woman. And why is she so glorious? Because look at verses 4 and 5. She gives birth to Jesus Christ. Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which we see in Revelation 19:16, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, she is glorious. She gives birth to him, and then we see later in Revelation 12:17, she continues in that motherly role because she's the mother of Jesus. She's also the mother of we who are sons and daughters of God because we're incorporated into Jesus. And we see that in Revelation 12:17. She's the mother of all those who have the testimony of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments. Now, notice what I did here. I started with something we agree with. Mary is the mother of God. Then you make an application. Old Testament, look, we have an antecedent here, a glorious queen mother in the kingdom of David. Wow. Well, in the New Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment. He is in Revelation 3:7, I have the key of the house of David. He is in Matthew chapter 1, the fulfillment of the son of David. So doesn't it make sense that he would have a queen mother too? And we see that in Revelation 12. I find that when you get some agreement, then you can ease into other discussions, and you know, the level of intensity kind of drops a little bit, and you're able to get your points across better.
So great to have all of you with us here on this live free webinar from Jerry and Debbie, and Tim Staples from Catholic Answers is our guest. As you can see, if you're viewing it online, you can see the shot of his book there, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. You can get that at ewtnrc.com, also available, of course, at catholic.com. And many of other Tim's great resources are available at catholic.com as well. And Tim, I think one thing that we Catholics often get accused of is some people will say, if they're not Catholic, they'll say, okay, I'll give you that much, but you guys go way too far with Mary. Too much devotion. You're just, it's Mary, Mary, Mary. I mean, if someone were to start out reading St. Alphonsus Liguori, you know, the glories of Mary, they'd turn and flee from the Catholic faith. What about, is it possible to go too far, give Mary too much devotion?
Right, right. Well, no. I argue, Jerry, it's impossible to give Mary too much honor, because God has already honored her far more than we ever could. Where you go over the line is where you start to adore her as a goddess. That is a no-go. And that's something essentially different from honoring. It's as different as an orange is in relation to an orangutan. So see, what we don't do, and here's what I encourage folks to do. Look, if you want to know the distinction between the honor we give Mary, and yes, we give a lot of honor to Mary. As I said, we can't give her more honor than God already gave her, because he made her queen of heaven and earth. He made her the mother of God. He has already honored. We're just doing in our little way what God does, you know, immeasurably greater than we do. But here's the key. I encourage folks, go to Mass. Yes, a Protestant, a Jehovah's Witness, whomever. You know, here's my challenge. Go to Mass, and I want you to sit through a Mass and just listen. And this is what you're going to see. The entire Mass is focused on God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Mass is offered to God, and we offer our lives and everything we are to God. Any mention of Mary and the saints is on the periphery, and we may ask them to pray for us. That's the essence of the spiritual life among Catholics. Now, within the members of the body of Christ, there are different levels of honor that we give. I mean, the Bible teaches that. 1 Timothy 5:17, for example, St. Paul says, give double honor to the teaching elders. What does that mean? Well, I give twice as much honor to my pastor than I do to Jerry Usher. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. In fact, the Bible teaches we honor people for two essential reasons. One is their office, and two is their holiness, right? The particular way that God has blessed individuals. So we see that throughout the New Testament. I mean, people wanted Peter's shadow to touch them in Acts chapter 5, right? So that they could be healed. People were touching handkerchiefs to St. Paul in Acts chapter 19, and then they'd take them to people and they'd be healed. I mean, they were honored greatly because of the gifts of God in their lives, and that's okay. Well, when you look at the Blessed Virgin Mother of God, she excels over all others for both of those reasons. Number one, her office, as I said before, is Mother of God. We must honor her because she's also our mother. I mean, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. She's our mother. Of course we have to honor her, but we also have to honor her because of what she said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Luke 1:48. Right? All generations shall call me blessed. Why? Because the Almighty has done great things for me. So, of course, we honor Mary more than all the other saints. Why? Because without Mary, and this is a simple fact, historical and biological, Jerry, without Mary, there's no Jesus.
Wow. Well, Mother Teresa knew that well, Tim. She honored Mary, and that's going to be the next question. But folks, if you just tuned in, this is the free webinar from Jerry and Debbie. .com. That's where we made it possible. And you can hear the recording of this wonderful webinar in a couple hours. It'll be posted right there. So if you like what you're hearing, please consider supporting us. We greatly would appreciate it very much, but it would help us reach more souls. And that's what we're all called to do. So you can be part of that ministry. We got about 9 minutes left with Tim. But Tim, I wanted to circle back to Mother Teresa because, you know, the great Saint Teresa of Calcutta, among others, turned to Mary in times of urgent need, especially, you know, we hear about her express novena or her flying novena. And, you know, Mother Teresa in the biography of her said, you know, it never failed. It was her go-to prayer, the Memorares. How can we build our confidence that Mary is always ready to help us with any need we might have?
Yes. That is a beautiful question, and I will relate a story that I know you guys know, but when I was in Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, and I was really struggling because I think intellectually I knew the truth of the Catholic faith. I knew that Mary's my mother, and I know that, look, 1 John 3:1 and 2 says, "Brethren, it does not yet appear what we shall be." He's talking about when we get to heaven, but we know this. We will be like him, for we will see him as he is. In the beatific vision, the saints in heaven are given such power that we cannot even imagine. To be able to respond to numerous prayers at the same time and all that stuff, of course, there's no time in heaven, but it's a piece of cake for them. And we see that in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, when we have the 24 elders receiving prayers coming up from the earth and taking them to the throne of God, right? I mean, I knew all that theologically, and I knew Mary was the greatest of all the saints. She would have more power and more ability because of that fact, that she has, you know, a more in-depth perception or comprehension of the beatific vision. I knew all that. But you know what? I had never actually prayed to her. There's a big difference between having a rosary hanging off your rearview mirror and actually pulling it down and praying it, right? And so you know what I did? I was struggling, and I think a lot of it had to do with prejudice in my heart against the Catholic Church and the fear of leaving and my family rejecting me, my church family, you know, and the Assemblies of God rejecting me. And so I just went to Mom. And I was actually in a prayer room at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, and I'm praying and I'm crying. Then I went back to my room, and I collapsed on my bed, and I slid down to my knees, and for the first time in my life, I prayed to a saint, and I prayed to the Blessed Mother. And I can tell you, as sure as I'm sitting here right now, that was the turning point in my life, when I just said, "Mom," and I said to her, "I don't even know if I'm saying this right, I don't know if I'm doing it right, if I'm messing up, I said, forgive me, but please help me." And I cried out to her, and I felt in my very soul, in my heart, the prayers of the Blessed Mother. And I know that was the day that I came home to the fullness of the Catholic faith. And I've never doubted the faith since. I've never doubted the Catholic faith since. And that's, what, 30 plus years ago. I can't believe it's that long ago, but it is 30 plus years ago. What we have to do, see, I think it's analogous to our relationship with God. When we sin or we struggle, we tend to run away from God. And we're running in the wrong direction. When we stumble, when we fall, when we're hurting, that's when we run to God. And that's when we can run to our Blessed Mother. Because her will is so one with the will of God. She loves with the love of God. She sees us as a mother sees a child. And no one, no human person can love us the way she does. And so we can abandon ourselves to her as well as we abandon ourselves to God, and she will take us there.
Mm. Well, getting down to the wire here, Tim, great stuff. I didn't recall that story if I had heard it before. That is very, very moving. Thanks for sharing that. Tim Staples with us here for a few more minutes on our live free Jerry and Debbie webinar. We do this once a month. After we finish with Tim, we'll do a little housekeeping, including letting you know who's going to be with us next month. But Tim, I have a graphic up right now with featuring your book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines. Real quickly, the reason you, if there was a key reason why you wrote that, and how this book will help all those who are with us right now.
Yeah, Jerry, it was a passion of mine for years to write that book, and it started with CD sets, even cassette tapes years ago, where I wrote a bunch of talks. I wrote 12 talks originally about the Blessed Mother, and I cut it down to nine, and that was the foundation. And when I came to Catholic Answers, it became, I think, three CD sets. And then I had to write the book. And the reason why I've had a passion for Our Lady is I know that was the number one misunderstanding. If you add all those, I mentioned the six major ones, really seven, if you put co-redemptrix and mediatrix in two different categories, it would be seven out of the top 10 reasons why I wasn't Catholic. And yet it was so much rooted in misunderstanding and caricature. You know, I accused Catholics of doing so and saying and believing so many things that they didn't actually say or do or believe. And so I wanted to write this book first and foremost to help Catholics to be able to understand our Mariology, to be able to live it, and then to be able to share it. And secondarily, I wrote it for my friends who are not Catholic. And I wrote it in terms they can understand. I have tons of footnotes and books if folks want to go deeper. But I really first and foremost aimed at the Catholics because I believe if Catholics really comprehend Mariology and can give the good reasoned biblical and historical reasons why we believe what we believe, Jerry, we can change this world.
Amen. Yep.
Amen. Amen to that. Tim, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you. We just hope you and your family have a beautiful Thanksgiving, and we appreciate it so very much. I think you know this, Tim, but Jerry and I do a favorites, a book list that we've had going. It's building as we've been doing the show over 4.5 years. But at the
Fantastic.
top of yeah, at the top of my personal list is Behold Your Mother. So
Oh, thank you, Debbie.
yeah,
Hey, and I
absolutely.
want you to know, I'm working on a book right now. It's going to be called Behold the Lamb of God, and it's going to be on Jesus and most especially in the Eucharist.
Oh, when is that coming out, Tim? That sounds fabulous.
Yeah, I was hoping for the spring, but it looks like it's going to be have to be moved back to the fall, but I'm excited about it.
Okay, well we'll be waiting for that. Tim, thank you so much. And Jerry, I know we got a we were talking about books. So our Inspired by Faith book club that's led by Gigi. Our December book is Gary Zimak's book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity: How to Know God's Will. And that's
Beautiful.
Inspired by Faith book club on a Facebook that we have going, and it's just fabulous. I know we're going to be featuring Behold Your Mother next year, so I'm excited about that as well. But then maybe we'll have Tim's new book that's coming in the fall, which will be great, Tim. That's going to be fabulous. Jerry?
All right.
Yeah, hey, you got to do a book, Behold Your Brother, because you're awesome, man.
All right, brother. Thanks so much for having me, Jerry. You've been such
Hey.
a good friend for so many years, man.
Well, Debbie and I are both just very, very grateful, as are the many, many people who have joined us on this webinar, Tim. And thanks for doing a little extra duty today. I know you had to dash down the hall. You were almost out of breath, but you're
Yes.
still an engineer guy.
Yes,
So,
and can I say this, Jerry? I absolutely love your voice, Debbie. You have like the perfect radio voice for the woman, and Jerry has the perfect radio voice for the man. I mean, you guys were
Thank
made to
you.
do this broadcast. I had to say that.
Thank you so much. That's like the kindest thing, Jerry, we've ever heard.
Well, you guys really do a great job.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
God bless. Love to the family.
Okay, brother. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you. Wow, that was Tim Staples from Catholic Answers Live. Amazing, amazing webinar. Folks, you're going to get to, you know, I would make sure that you hear the recorded version that we're going to be placed on jerryanddebbie.com. Send it to your friends. You know, this is good stuff. I mean, this is stuff you're not going to hear, you know, just in an ordinary day-to-day living. This is a fabulous stuff to help us move us along in the wonderful spiritual journey and to get us closer to the Blessed Mother. It was a real home run, this webinar.
Yeah, it really was. And man, what can you say after that? I just want to thank all of those of you who are with us. And like Debbie said, if you appreciate this and anything else that we're trying to do, you know, our hearts are with you. You know, we don't feel called to do a radio show. We feel called to build a community, you know, to be with you, to show our love for you, to receive your love back, and for all of us, you know, to walk side by side, arm in arm on this journey of life, and just to help us all be better, be the best version of ourselves that God made us to be. So Debbie and I have some aggressive and creative dreams that we're following, and we believe they're from God. So we'd first and foremost ask you for your prayers, and then again, your financial support. You know, it goes all to the ministry. Debbie and I don't take anything for doing anything that we do. We just have, you know, website issues. We're going to have a redo of our website. We could use your help with that if you have a few pennies or nickels that you could afford. Just spread the word about the ministry and just keep, like I say, keep us in your prayers and know that you guys are in our prayers every day. Fervent, fervent prayers.
Absolutely. And we want to wish you just a beautiful Thanksgiving. Have fun and fellowship and with friends and family and lots of food. Don't forget the food.
Oh, really?
The stuffing, right, Jerry?
That's right. That's right. Well, I've got about a 16-pound turkey that's going to probably last around 3 weeks in this house. So
good deal. Good deal. Well, this was a good one. And we're just so happy you could be with us. Thanks for letting us reschedule it in December. Like we said, the Inspired by Faith book club, we have Gary Zimak's book, Faith, Hope, and Clarity, How to Know God's Will. And Gary Zimak will be with us on the December webinar. What a special treat that's going to be.
Okay. Well, we all give all glory to Jesus Christ and all thanks and honor to our Blessed Mother and the angels and the saints. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Debbie and I have one more live show with you tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And then some great Thanksgiving programming coming up in the next couple of days after that. So thanks for joining us here on the webinar. And may the Lord bless each and every one of you. Again, keep us in your prayers. You are always in ours. God bless.